Welcome to the Down and Dirty Podcast, the ultimate guide to modern midlife dating. I'm your host, Celeste Moore, and I'm here to help you navigate the challenges of today's dating world. Think of me as your female version of Hitch, but better. With over 16 years of experience as a certified image consultant and dating coach, I've got the inside scoop on what women want. In this podcast, we're diving deep into the world of healthy masculinity and modern dating. It's a fast-changing industry, and here you'll find personal stories, expert insights, and candid conversations that will empower you to take control of your dating life. There's never been a better time to achieve your desired outcome, whether it's marriage, finding a significant other, securing a life partner, or simply regaining your dating confidence. We're here with you twice a week to explore the viewpoints and challenges in today's dating arena that resonate with every man seeking dating success and love. So let's dive into today's episode. We've got an exciting discussion lined up for you. Get ready for the Double D's of Dating, where dating dilemmas turn into dating triumphs. Welcome everybody to another episode of the Down and Dirty Podcast. As always, I'm your host, Celeste Moore. And thank you for everyone that's new here today and everyone that continues to show up. I really appreciate you. And I would also appreciate if you could leave a review. Hopefully you love this so much. It's a 5-star review, but this really helps the show get shown more. And in turn, we educate more and bring more beautifulness to the world. So I know that really is not a word, but you know, more beauty into this world. Before I dive into today's episode, I would love to introduce to you my guest today. I'm so excited to have her. She is known for her energy, enthusiasm, and flair. Jacqueline Chalas has wowed audiences on 6 continents with her messages to embrace your awesome by communicating with wholeness and boldness at work, home, and beyond. As an introverted woman of color, she's navigated an accomplished but challenging upbringing to become an international speaker, global best-selling author, and advisor to Fortune 500 execs, all while honoring her introversion. The excitable introvert gets audiences in over 20 countries thinking, talking, and taking action, and her expert Shanana gems have been featured in Forbes, The Washington Post, Today, TEDx, and Yahoo. She's the founder of Awesome Enterprises, LLC, and the executive director of National Center for Intersectional Studies. Well, thank you so much for being on today's show, Jacqueline. I really appreciate you showing up and taking the time.
I'm excited. I can't wait to get into conversation. What all comes up?
I know. I just want everybody to kind of know how I just met you just a couple weeks ago. And you were saying how you maneuvered everything to be in Dallas. And I'm so grateful because I was able to sit down with you at dinner and just kind of strike up a conversation like we all do. And I think what really surprised me is you were like, I'm an introvert. And I was completely shocked because you're so comfortable in your own skin. And I honestly think that when people hear the word introvert, there's this assumption that arises. There's all these words that pop up that don't relate to how I felt about you. Can you talk a little bit about that? Is that something that you discuss when you speak?
Yeah. Yes, this comes up all the time. It's like, oh, you can't be an introvert. You're like smiling and talking to people. You seem happy. There's no way you could be an introvert. Like, you know, we are like happy people, but you're just quietly happy. We are happy in our solitude. And yes, this comes up so often. And I think a bit of the disconnection is that people tend to think of introversion or someone who is introverted as being someone who is antisocial or someone who is shy or someone who is quiet. And an introvert can have those qualities, but that is not what makes someone introverted. You can have an antisocial extrovert. You can have an extrovert that has social anxiety. This is all about how you process stimulation. That's all an introvert is. And same for extroverts. Introverts, we process stimulation internally. So we're thinking about it. We're feeling into it. We're picking up on all of the cues, what's said, what's not said, how you're reacting. How am I reacting to the way that you're reacting? How do I think you might react to how I might react to how you're reacting? Like, we do all of this in our head. And so because we're juggling all of these plates, our energy depletes very quickly. Whereas extroverts, they are external processors. And so they need to talk through their thoughts. They need to walk through their thoughts. They need to maneuver around it. And so you'll find that extroverts are often talking, but it's how they're processing. And it can be very interesting for the introvert because we're like, oh, if you're saying these things, this is what you actually mean. This is like final. And the extrovert doesn't even remember what they said because they were still processing like what they even thought or felt about a thing. So when we have that kind of juxtaposition where you have someone who is talking, who is forward facing, who is engaging, I was like, oh, you're talking. You must be extroverted. It's like, well, no, I just know how to be in certain circles. I manage my energy to be here. I'm going to run away and hide in like 30-ish minutes, and I'll need a day or two to recover from this. But I'm so glad. I'm so glad I got to meet you and have this conversation. And just a quick thing, I was so glad that you initiated the conversation. We're sitting there and I was feeling so awkward. And the person sitting next to me, Nicole, we knew each other for 3 years and we had just met in person. We knew each other online. And so I'm like, okay, well, I know Nicole, so I'll talk to her, but I don't know any of the rest of these people. So I'm just going to pretend that they don't exist. And I'm just going to eat my cauliflower and be happy. But then you had such a warmth about you and just it was such a joy to be next to you. I was like, oh, OK, you're a comfortable person. You have good energy. OK, I'll talk to you. Like, I'll totally talk to you. You feel good. And we introverts can often do that.
I love that. I love that you broke it down, even for me, which is still confusing, like when I hear, like you said, introverts are not always shy. They don't always, you know, they're not always quiet. And it's just like the way that you process. And that's really interesting because when you were speaking about the introvert and the extrovert, I do both. Like, and I'm trying to define, I'm like, ooh, who am I? And yeah, there are some moments where my energy is zapped and I just need to like shut down and like, wow, that was a lot. And even after the 3 days, I came home, I felt jet lagged. And obviously, I live in the same time zone. I only drove 3 hours to Austin from Dallas. So I was like, there's no way you could feel this way. But I think there was so much information, amazing people and amazing information, but it hit me like a ton of bricks. So
yeah. And I love that you pointed that out because often people think either you're an extrovert or you're an introvert, or maybe you're kind of like an extroverted introvert, an introverted extrovert. And the truth is that we're all gradients of gray. Everyone has a drop of extrovert. They have a drop of introvert, and then lots of dimensions of how that plays out. And that can come out more during certain situations. It can come out with the kind of vibe that's going on. And so there's not a hard and fast rule on how you process, because again, there's a whole gradient of it. And in fact, there are four types of introverts, which most people don't realize. There are four categories. And so someone like me, who's more of a social introvert, I am perfectly fine with being in spaces where I'm having conversations, where I'm engaging with people, if it's with purpose. But I know that after this amount of time, I need to back it on up.
Yeah.
I have a few extra drops of the extrovert, but not enough to be an extrovert. And so it's important for people to recognize is that that can sometimes be a challenge too. It's like, oh, well, I like people and I'm an extrovert. Well, I'm sick of people though. So maybe I am an introvert. And we're all gradients of gray.
I like that. I like that we're all like a little touch of something. I mean, that makes sense, right? In certain situations and like you said, certain vibes. So what are the four types of introvert?
So there's the social introvert, who is someone who they can willingly engage socially and they enjoy that. But then per introverts, once they process that, they need a little bit of time away. There's the analytical introvert who's all about, that's the thinking. So we are the ones who probably are more quiet. There's another one that's the quietest of the four. But the analytical introvert is the one who is processing the most. And so this one tends to be more empathetic, someone who has more access to intuition. And so they're analyzing every scenario to like the fifth or sixth degree. They're like a chess player, but with reality. So that gets really interesting. Then there's the reserved introvert. And the reserved introvert, I think, is what many people tend to associate with introverts. The reserved introvert is someone who prefers to be in that observer mode. They're not really going to engage. They can love you. You can be like the best, but they're going to hold everything kind of close to their chest, observe everything that's going on, take it all in, and just be cool with that. So they're not going to hang out. They don't want to socialize with you. Even if you're in that very special group, maybe. It's like a real hard maybe on a day-to-day basis. And the last one just blanked out of my mind.
It's
a social, the reserve, the analytical. Oh God, what is... I cannot remember the fourth one. Okay,
you know I've got to... You'll remember it.
I've got to look it up because the fourth one is closer to the social, but I just can't... My brain is fogging on the name. But for that fourth one, this is someone, when the name comes to me, this is the introvert who is social, but only in very select scenarios. Mm-hmm. So once they have that group that they feel free with, they feel kinship with, this select group is who they will engage with all the time. These are their people, but you would see them in any other scenario, like if you see them.
Okay.
If you see them at all. Okay. They will be kind of hanging out like the wallflower. And so all introverts have these different aspects. It just depends on our situation. What I often talk about is being the running joke is how much introverts actually talk. Like we talk a lot, but we have to be around like certain people. We have to feel a level of comfort and a level of connection that whoever I'm engaging with is worth the energy that's being expended. I'm not sure if you're going to be worth me using up all this energy. Probably not going to start a conversation. Probably not going to go to that event. Probably not going to say yes to that opportunity. Yet I don't know if this is going to be worth me having to recover for days. So that's very similar for all of the different categories.
Okay. Yeah, that makes a lot of sense. So I usually like jump into kind of what your backstory is. You just told me before that you started talking about speaking in general, like in single digits. But when did you really start talking about introversion? Is this something you felt that needed to be out there because there wasn't enough information when you were young? Or is it just a passion of yours?
Well, the introversion piece is fairly recent. I've always been someone who's done training and I teach, I advise. So I'm like the 9 and 10-year-old who's giving like life advice to the adults. I'm the one who like people are coming to me to like ask me, so what do you think about such and such? Now, I don't know where I came up with any of this stuff, but apparently it was helpful and it was great. And so a lot of doors got open for me around communication and leadership early on. But this piece around introversion, that was only since about 2020. I keep thinking 20s as 2000s.
I know.
So around 2020. It's around the time that I started leaning more into the introversion piece. And honestly, it was a fluke. I typically work with women, many of whom happen to be introverted, but also with men who tend to be on the introverted or ambivert side, which you kind of hop between the two, just depending on the situation. And so what I was seeing is that I kept having a number of these women who were making similar complaints about how their boss was making snide comments about them being quiet, or they were feeling like really iced out because every time they try to get a word in edgewise, they never have the opportunity to. It's like, okay, well, this is really strange to have so many of these conversations kind of all around the same time. Like within some weeks, I had like maybe a dozen, which is unreal. So I asked some friends, I asked some colleagues, you know, have you noticed kind of an uptick with this? And they were agreeing that they had personally experienced this. I started researching it because I'm a social scientist by education. And there's no research about introversion in this way, particularly for introverted women of color. There's work around introversion. There's work about women in the workplace. There's work about race, sometimes race and gender, but the introversion piece just wasn't there. Like, okay, Well, that's weird. Like, there's research on everything. Like, we know about beer bubbles, but not this. Like, what's going on? And so that's when I started leaning more into this and actually doing interviews and getting very academic about it. And it was shocking, the experiences. Now, I am a Black woman who is very introverted, although I'm bubbly in my moments. And yeah. I was not aware of the level of interpretation of experience that was happening and how so many women across the country, across all of the different things that you could mark, were having the same experience where they were being told that their introversion not only is a problem, but it's threatening to other people. And so they're being penalized by not getting promotions, not getting raises, not being let in on opportunities, even though they had the qualifications for it, they had the background, they had the promises of it. And so everything started from that.
Wow.
This whole thing 3 years later started from just that. It's like, okay, well, that's weird. Like, what do you mean that your boss told you, I can't give you this raise because you're too quiet? Like, that's not legal, is it? Technically, it is. Technically, you can do that. So my work has now transitioned less from the space of just communication and leadership and more at looking at introversion as its own intersectional identity. And what do you do with that? Like, what do you do when your retirement is on the line, when your career advancement is on the line, your ability to, you know, provide for yourself and your family is on the line because someone was not happy about you not having a conversation at the water cooler in the morning? They felt threatened and felt that you were being aggressive with your silence. These sorts of things, common stories, sadly common stories. So that's where all of this began. It's been a very interesting ride for the past few years.
Yeah. And I would say too, you know, you said 2020, right? So
yeah,
the whole world shut down and became more introverted as well. Like, they came into their shells, they got really uncomfortable with speaking, and maybe that wasn't their normal self because of, you know, being scared. And I know that may just be temporary, but it brought a lot of things up to the surface that I'm sure that you're still kind of dealing with. I mean, I know definitely in the workplace, and that completely has shifted as well, a lot of hybrid. But what, how do you, so interestingly enough, I'm kind of going off topic or different topic here, but most of, there's a few posts that I've done that have gotten huge amounts of traffic and huge amounts of commentary. And it's about introverting, or introverts and how they date. And I found it so fascinating that so many people were excited to hear about ways and different date ideas and how to kind of move past some of the struggles that they deal with, only because I was researching it once I found out that this was, well, I didn't think that that was going to be such a hit, you know?
Right.
And I know you deal with mostly Black women or women of color in the workplace, but how could you speak to somebody who's just starting to date and is, just say they're out of a relationship? Because like you said, if you're an introvert and if you're next to the right people and you're comfortable with those people, then you figured stuff out, right? Say you break up and now you're wanting to date again. And like, how do you maneuver? How do you do something that's very uncomfortable maybe or unfamiliar?
Yeah, this is a very interesting topic for me because that's literally my life now. But I am the introvert who is dating. I was married for 20 years, together for 28. And this year we amicably separated. We're divorced now. And so the idea of having to like, oh, I've got to like purposefully meet someone. Like, there's not just going to be some guy, like I'm just pushing my basket in Target. And he's like, hey, beautiful, let me just whisk you away. I think all your dreams come true. I can't just have that happen where I'm like doing nothing but just like wandering the aisles. No, that's not going to happen.
Happenstance would be amazing.
Fantastic. I'm still hoping that like somehow works itself out But in the meantime, I'm being in a space where I'm having to apply my own teachings to my own very private life has been curious. And so what I would typically advise is that for women, first and foremost, to kind of get comfortable with being uncomfortable, like recognize it's going to feel awkward. I mean, it's going to feel more awkward than usual, because it's not like just you're in a meeting and you might be feeling a little bit uncomfortable. You're talking about someone and wanting to be in relationship and wanting to have these very private parts of you that have nothing to do with taking off things to have that exposure. And so normalizing the fact that this will feel a little uncomfortable, but you surely will not die. If you die, you have bigger problems. So you won't die. It's okay. And it's okay for you to just make that clear. That's another thing that I find a lot of people are very, especially for introverted women, they're very hesitant to not come across the wrong way, like not say the wrong thing. And why there's certainly, you don't be like super weird. Nobody wants like.
Side note, don't be weird. Super weird. I love it.
A little bit weird, because that's kind of our default. Like weird and being like the uncanny, supernatural, unorthodox. That's
who I love that.
Are. Yeah. So, but don't be like super weird, but be okay with saying, you know what, this is really uncomfortable for me. Mm-hmm. I need to just go. I'm going to go to the bathroom for like 3 minutes. I'll be right back. Like, I didn't ditch you. I'm coming right back. Just being vulnerable enough to acknowledge that. Now, you might not use those words, but the same principle applies. It allows the other person to see the side of you and be open to that vulnerability. You have to show like a lot of yourself to say, I need like to take a 5. Can I just like text you for the next week or so? And then we finally have a conversation. Mm-hmm. Like having that vulnerability actually can be more attractive, because you're not putting on airs. You're just being yourself. And so the last piece that along with that is, when you know you're going to be going on dates, especially if you're doing like speed dating or you're trying to like do all of this, which that has been, oh, dear God, that's been an experience. But also make sure that you are managing your energy. So make sure that you are setting aside time to kind of get your mind to a place of comfort. So whether that's having a cup of tea, if that's having a certain mantra that you tell yourself, doing breath work, whatever helps you to get in that space where you feel recharged, get into that space before your date or before your conversation or before your hang. Get into that space, and then also allow yourself some space afterward to kind of recalibrate. Because what can easily happen is, because our emotions are high, there's the expectation of, okay, I don't want to be super weird. And also, I don't know if this person is super weird. But this will probably go great. It may very well go off the rails. Our brains are looking at all of those scenarios. And so our energy is already, because our emotions are high, our natural ability to kind of imagine all scenarios get heightened. So your energy can deplete like in an instant. Give yourself the grace to recharge. And if you need to take a beat, then while you're on the date, it is okay for you to take a couple moments or just have that thing that allows you to kind of reconnect with your energy so that you can stay present. So whether this is amazing, whether it's awful, you are still present and you are making sure you are managing you. Now, having said all of that, that's all like fine and good. That is solid advice. And I'm sure this is something very similar that you would tell anyone who is dating. As someone who's like living this now, that stuff is hard to do. It is so simple. It is so simple, but it's not necessarily easy, because as introverts, we're wanting to create all of these scenarios and we have all of these expectations, and our brains are processing all of the ways that not only the person is feeling, how we're feeling about the person's feelings and the interpretations of that. So it can be a lot more difficult for us to stay present. And so for me personally, it has been really an exercise of, okay, I really don't want to do this. But you know what? I'm going to do it, because I know whether this date, whether this activity, whether this whatever, if it goes really well, then great, it went really well. If it goes really terrible, I'll have a great story out of it. Either way, I'm good. Like, either way, I'm good. So let me just be present. Mm. Let me just be present for it. Let me just be willing to feel uncomfortable, to be awkward if I need to be in order to maintain myself and to get myself back into that place. Like, okay, where's my rock? You know, I'll usually have like crystals in my pocket, or I'll have a picture of my kiddo on my phone. And those are the things that I use to kind of get myself back into the present. So yeah. It's, if you are struggling with it, like I'm right there with you. I'm right there with you.
Yeah. I know. And I think it's difficult for so many people. It just, there's just not everybody, but especially there's an awkwardness that comes with when you start dating anybody. And it's so heightened for you as well. Like you have that extra, like your head's like, you know, just stories. Yeah. And so, yes, your energy is just like zapped. Do you think that, you know, no matter what, when you're telling yourself, okay, I'm going to do this, no matter if it's a good story or if this turns out well, do you feel that the more you practice like anything, it gets a little bit easier?
Yes. Yeah. It's gotten more tolerable.
Okay. Tolerable. That's a good word. That's a good word.
My hesitation begins. Let me backtrack a little bit.
Yeah.
I was with my partner since I was 17.
Wow.
So this is like, I'm starting over like from scratch. I don't know who I was telling, but I was telling them I'm basically like a virgin co-ed with an ex-husband and a kid. You know, it's so brand new, like starting all of this over. And so for me, I personally feel a lot more of that pressure and kind of awkwardness that can come from it, because it's like, I feel like I should know what to do. Like, I should know how to like wink. I should know how to like toss my hair flirtily. Like, I should know this, but I wasn't practicing that. I was married and raising a kid. Like, when was that happening? And so there are those sorts of experiences that I found I have to give myself a bit more grace in that awkwardness. It's like, you know what? Chill. Like, it's okay. So you can't wink. So you're just not going to wink. Like, just take the pressure off. Good Lord. Or even one of the other things that, and this is just for me, what I found very curious in this process is, and it's related to introversion, is how we tend to forward plan. So we'll have an experience. So we'll go to a place, we'll have a connection, we'll do whatever. And then our brains will want to process all of the steps forward that could happen. So, okay, we're going to meet for lunch. Simple, easy. Okay, so what if I get fish and I choke on a bone? Okay, I'm not going to choke on a bone. I won't get fish. I'll get a salad. But then the salad's going to get stuck in my teeth. Okay, I can't do that. But then maybe he thinks the salad in my teeth is like really cute. And so then he can tell me about it. And then it's this whole bonding thing. And then like when our kids know about this later, because surely there are kids after this one day, then we'll be able to tell them this really cute story. Like, oh, your mother had lettuce in her teeth and she nearly choked on a bone of fish. And I had to rescue her. And that's how all of this nonsense over just lunch. And so this is something that we do often in many scenarios, but it can be really a hindrance when you're doing it as far as dating, because again, then comes the pressure and the expectation that this is supposed to be, insert what your expectation is, as opposed to, I'm just getting to know this person. I'm getting to decide if this is someone who is worth my energy. Mm. This person is deciding if I'm worth their energy. Can we just have like a lunch and just enjoy a conversation? Like, we don't need to think about, okay, so where is he going to put his stuff? Because I only have one spare room and it's small. Like, where is his couch going to go? Like, I don't even know if he likes leather couches because I hate them and that might be a deal breaker. Like, that has nothing to do with lunch.
Yeah.
Can you just enjoy the lunch? Can we just stay where we are with this? And so that I've personally had to struggle with that. But it's, again, for us introverts, our brain, we are seeing all the universe of possibilities with everything. It's important for us to recognize that, to be aware when we're doing it. I'm like, okay, let me loosen up the valve a little bit. Like, yeah. Let me take a little bit of this pressure off. Where it's just coffee.
Yeah.
It just, no one's moving furniture. It's just calm down.
I'm so glad you shared that and brought that up, because the essence of my first state language with every client is literally, how can we take off the pressure? How can it not be an interview? How can it be these million questions that go through our head where we can just enjoy and have fun? Because really, you want to feel someone's energy. You want to know if you vibe. You want to know if, like, they might be perfect on paper, right? They might be like, oh my God. And meanwhile, we're looking at the paper and we're like, oh yeah, he's my baby daddy. You know, he's like, oh, you know, like, uh-huh. He's definitely moving in tomorrow. Like you said, I think women, we naturally, especially women, we go, you know, right to it. Or if somebody really wants a relationship really bad. So they're like, okay, this is it. But take that all out. That's why you're going out with a person to see if you like them. And then just like, I always say, and I don't know if you've done this, but I recommend doing an activity. So versus even the coffee dates, even the, like, let's meet at a bar or restaurant. I like that for like second, third, fourth date, maybe. Yeah. I really recommend, and it doesn't have to be a crazy activity. Maybe you're not super adventurous. Maybe you are, but like even going to the park, or if you have a dog, or just like a very, almost like a buffer too, right? For people that need a little bit of extra something there with them, or even a friend date, right? Take your friends, and no pressure for the other one. Just kind of get to know each other in an environment that's a little less intrusive, if you will. And I think that's so important, even if you're not an introvert, to just like step back for a minute, do something that maybe you've wanted to do for a while. Maybe you go to a book signing, maybe you go to a museum, like do something that you can. There's an exit closer, or there's just, you know, just whatever makes you feel comfortable, right? And I think that's so important. And like you said, it's a lot of mindsets, a lot of tools and things in your head. And it sounds like you're doing a great job, you know, of trying to talk yourself into be like, okay, let's just Jacqueline, let's just have a good time today.
Yeah, I've had to have so many spoonfuls of my own medicine.
Yeah.
I've just having to check in with me. And I love that suggestion. Actually, there's a potential date that's coming on the horizon. And that's one of the things that it's like, okay, well, what's something that we can do? And this is just, I want to make sure the pressure is off of me and my own head, let alone like him. Like, you're fine. You're good. You're great. Me, on the other hand, I need to rein me in. And from the perspective, if I take myself out of it and just look at the objective piece, so supportive to have something that you're doing as an activity, because then the focus is not so much on what am I feeling about what that person is feeling about me, much more on, okay, this is something that we can do together. I can focus on this. For those who are competitive, you can bring out more of that. For those who are cooperative, you can lean into that. There's this place that allows for an ebb and flow of activity. Mm-hmm. So whether it's something that's competitive or not, like you mentioned a book signing, that too can be something that the focus is on not all of the vibes that are happening, or the lack of vibes, because that's a reality too.
Yeah.
And rather than focusing on all of that, now there is this other piece that the focus can be directed to. And so rather than mulling over and ruminating and like, oh my God, I can't believe I did, like in the moment, let alone after, now there's a place to direct some of that energy. There's a place to put some of that energy. And if it's something that you enjoy, or that you discover that you enjoy, that can really be recharging. And having that burst of energy, that recharge, allows you to show more of your personality, allows you to be more open, allows you to be more vulnerable, which makes for a better date. So yeah, I love that you said that. And I'm glad I'm on the right track.
You are.
I need something to try to like get myself together.
Yes, girl. You are. You really are. And look, I'm a dating coach and I'm single and by choice. Okay. Like I'm almost there. I mean, I'm on a dating app, but like, okay, but still kind of not there. And for so many reasons. So like I have to give myself a dose of my own medicine as well. Like, okay, do what you preach, Celeste. You know, like
Is that the best, worst thing? Where it's like, okay, fine, I'm going to do what I say to do. I know it works.
Just get uncomfortable.
Yes.
Yeah. And
comfortable with being uncomfortable.
Oh my God. Goggins says that all the time. And I absolutely love that. I'm sure he's not the first person, but he's just a person that he's a beast. He's a whole nother level. But yeah, I love that so much. And I say that quite often because I think since that, I make it a habit at least once a day, something to push myself, to stretch myself. Mm-hmm. So when we talk about how you're like, I don't know anybody, we're sitting at the dinner, you know, we're like Jen Gottlieb, Chris Winfield, like this is amazing, you know, all these amazing people that were there who are, mm-hmm. you know, successful. And it was just like a really beautiful space. I didn't know anybody. I came all by myself. That was like a huge stretch for me. And then I made it a point that every day I would sit with someone new, every opportunity, not just every day, but because I was going to get the most out of it. And every single time it was uncomfortable. But
yeah,
at the end, it was so juicy and amazing because I met all these amazing connections like you. And yeah, so I know that it's a more difficult, like you said, for introvert people because of the stories and the energy and the, you know, it's a lot more just really fast. My daughter growing up, she was always that way and I was not. And I was like, go hug your uncle, go kiss your uncle or, you know, and it was like she was so uncomfortable, even though she knew her family loved her. Mm-hmm. And finally, she found a way to like, you know, work that out. But, and then I felt so bad as a parent because I didn't know. I just thought my daughter was being difficult, you know?
Right.
And after I learned, I'm like, oh my God, what an asshole I was to like, you know, push that on her when that didn't feel comfortable for her. So, you know, it's just grateful that you're speaking about this and bringing awareness because yeah, that woman that got scorned or didn't get the promotion because they felt uncomfortable with her silence. I mean, basically what it was.
Yeah.
Terrible.
Yeah. Dozens of women. Of the, I'm at 120 some odd that I've interviewed, nearly all have a story like that, which is just mind blowing.
Yeah.
And in having conversations with some of the introverted men, because they have their own set of circumstances. And their own set of challenges, because, again, there becomes this notion of, well, if you're a man, especially in the workplace, and you're mm-hmm. of any measure of success, then you've got to be outspoken. You've got to be the one that's bold and brash. And like, what kind of dud are you if you're like sitting over there mulling? And that becomes its own set of challenges for mm-hmm. how they show up and ways that they need to navigate. But they've never experienced, at least the ones I've had conversations with, they've never experienced having their manager telling them, I can't give you this promotion because you don't hang out after hours, or so-and-so feels threatened because you're being quiet, or I need you to not be like so focused on your work. I need you to go and make the rounds and have conversations. Well, that has nothing to do with their jobs. They've never experienced that, but nearly all of the women have. So those sorts of things, like, wait, what? I never would have known, never would have had a clue about any of that without going down this road. There is one thing I wanted to piggyback on that you mentioned, to backtrack just a little, about changing the places that you sit. This is something that I started doing, and it is so freeing. I know for like that introverted piece, it is a fantastic way for you to be able to network and get to know people without having to network and get to know people mm-hmm. because you are putting yourself into a new space. You're sitting by this new person. You can have like a, hey, how's it going? What do you do for work? Each time you're in that different space. And so now you have all of these different connections that you can make. We love making connections for the most part. We see how everything is connected. Mm-hmm. And when we can be of help and of service, we typically want to do that, even if we're like really quiet and in the back and we just send like an email about it. We're not going to call someone, but we'll totally send an email. I will text them for you. And so this is a great way for introverts to be able to connect and to be able to get some of that engagement. And that was what I did at this conference too. It's like, okay, I'm going to sit by a different person. I'm going to have a conversation with that person, even if it's just like, hey, how's it going? And then I'm not going to worry about any of the rest of this. Like, oh, we have a networking mixer. I'm not doing that. But what I will do is I will sit on this different side of the room. I'll sit in different rows. I'll connect someone that I did have a conversation with earlier and say, oh, hey, I had a conversation with this new person. You two should meet. Let me connect you. I'll totally do that. But I'm not going to stand in a group of people and like doing that. Under the table. So finding those ways that can be supportive in you connecting, in you networking, in you engaging. And that goes back to dating too. Like, you don't have to necessarily be the person who's juggling like 15 dates. Like, you don't have to do all of that because that's going to be totally overwhelming. There is nothing wrong with having the one person that you're getting to know and then maybe have another person that may be of interest. That's perfectly fine. You don't need 15 different dates at once. That is going to be so depleting, so confusing, so frustrating. You're going to be all over the place emotionally, let alone mentally, but trying to keep track of how you're feeling and how you're engaging in all of these ways. Then you're going to get so frustrated. It's like, you know what? Forget it. I'm just going to die with my cat. It's going to be fine. That's my life now. So be it. Yeah. You could just take a step back and find those ways that you can place yourself in situations where you get to have that difference. You get to have that contrast of experience. You get to have that variety of people, but in a way that is still supportive of your introversion.
Mm-hmm. No, that's so beautiful that you brought that up. And thank you for sharing that, because I think it's so important. And I think that goes like across the board. I don't know if you've ever watched any of the matchmaker shows, but there's the Indian matchmaker. And she basically will find three suitors for a particular client. And she'll actually make them choose one and then go for the dates. She has the other two on the back burner, but until it's like a hard no, then she'll give you the next out of two and then you get to pick. And it's like, it makes so much sense too, right? And I know, like you said, 15. I mean, that to me, I'm just like, oh, hell no, that just is too crazy. My head is like bopping all over. And how can you really get to know somebody anyway? Like a five full-time jobs there, you know, who has that time?
A quick interjection. A friend of mine, I told him he gave me dating PTSD. And this was before I was still married. We were still like trying to work things out. Like, you don't have to say yes to every date. Like, every person who is interested in you, you don't have to say yes and go out to them. Like, I totally get it. You want a partner. That's cool. That's great. That's wonderful. But if you need a spreadsheet to keep track of people, you're doing too much. If you are getting confused, and so rather than using names, you're just using like hun, because you don't want to call Susan, Tammy, or whatever, you're kind of doing too much. And whether you meet that person or not, how can you even know if that's someone that you want to spend time with when you are muddling the waters by going on like a morning date and then an evening date? Like, you'll meet someone for lunch and then someone for, like, what are you doing? Oh my God. Yeah. But I just had to interject that because that was nuts.
That is nuts.
It was great for me to sit on the side with like popcorns. Like, you have lost your mind. No, so
entertaining.
Train rat.
Oh my God, I love that. Yes, I'm sure that's pretty common, to especially with all the dating apps, and that can just, you know, going through all of the like likes, and it's like, you know. So I mean, I prefer to like, you know, pick one or two, go for it. But I don't think you should put your eggs in all one basket. So get out there, like try new hobbies, like do things personally to stretch and like know with your values, your beliefs and your life goals and interject yourself in those. And hopefully you'll meet someone that way. But if not, it's like, okay, well, I'm doing this and I'm doing this and I'm doing this and I'm doing this. And the chances of me finding someone are going to be a lot greater.
Yeah. And I'm doing things that I like and I want to do. I'm not doing stuff that I have no interest in.
Amazing.
Like, I have no interest in golf. I'm not learning golf and buying golf stuff. Like, okay, maybe if I find someone who's like into it and it's like, okay, I can see us going the long run, like maybe. But I'm going to do something just like, oh, there are lots of eligible bachelors on the links. Let me make myself ready. Like,
you could have a drink at the golf bar, but maybe you're not going to, you know, golf.
Yeah. So like that focus. And again, going back for introversion, you know, we not only do we have these deep connections that we want and that we can make, but if you only have like an ounce of energy, why are you going to spend your ounce of energy on something that is totally depleting that you have no interest in? Because that's just going to deplete that little ounce even faster on top of the ruminating, on top of the emotions, on top of everything else. Now you're doing something you could not give fewer Fs for just for the hopes that maybe you'll stumble across someone. Mm-hmm. But when you're doing those activities that you actually do enjoy, that you do have interest in, one, that's going to give you that boost of energy. And that's going to help you to recharge and stay charged in the activity, which again, frees up some of that pressure. Your personality can come out even more for whomever happens to be around. But if you find someone who's there and you're doing this activity, this is something you both can relate to. Whether that relationship continues on or not, you still have something that is improving you. You still have something that is bringing joy, delight, and happiness to you. That is essential for us introverts.
Yeah, and I love that. I mean, I think you're so spot on too with, like you said, when you do something that you really enjoy, that's going to give you more energy. And who doesn't want more energy? I know I do.
Yeah.
Where do I find that? Where's that cup of tea?
If I could bottle that up, oh my gosh.
Oh man, I hear you.
Who needs Powerball? I have the secret recipe for
emptying
a bottle with no crash.
That would
I can just hear people saying, it's water, it's exercise, it's laughter of a baby. Like, that's not in a bottle though.
Yeah, exactly. I only get bits
and
pieces.
Yeah.
That's so funny. I love that. I really appreciate you sharing all your knowledge and your own journey of what you're experiencing. And I applaud you for stretching yourself, because 28 years in a relationship, man, I really applaud you. That is like a whole nother, you're not even like dating. Like you said, you're a virgin.
Yeah, I'm a virgin.
With a husband, a son, or a child. Sorry. Yeah. And so that's so great, because I mean, it's been a really long time for my last relationship. I've dated, but I haven't been like, oh, I'm in love. What I define as like a real relationship, you know. And it's big stretch. It's a whole nother ball game, because you know, it's forever changing, right? You've got this app and you've got this thing and you've got this thing. And it's like, it's not like when you were 17 in high school with like 1,000, I don't know, plus kids. And like, this is the dating pool for me. You know, there was no internet.
There was no internet. And well, it was at the very beginnings of internet. It's like, oh God, I'm so ancient. I can hear my son. It's like, God, Mom. How old are you? He thinks I'm somewhere between 20 and 80, which he's not wrong. It's like, really? That's the spread, son? Teenagers.
Oh my God.
At any rate, like just at the beginnings of it, there wasn't like social media platforms or anything like that. Mm-hmm. This is back when there were like, we call them like bulletin boards, like forums. And so you think these were the things that were available. Like back then.
Yeah.
And I was not really keen on the whole dating system, period, way back then, when it's like, okay, well, you kind of need to date someone. I wasn't too thrilled about that process then. I got lucky. I happened to meet someone that was amazing. I felt a connection with, and I knew he would be my person. Mm-hmm. And it's like, okay, you're my person. I'm your person. Okay, cool. everything else we can like relax and chill and discover and let it unfold as it is. Yeah. You're my person. Very different ball game now. Very different ball game. Yeah. Between the technology that's available and the expectations around that. I'm a fully grown adult. I have a teenage son. I have like a whole life. Like there are all of these other variables that are so new and different. And that's been equally exciting and terrifying about this process. What a completely different landscape that it is from way back then when the internet was in its infancy.
Oh, gosh. Yes. Well, I am proud of you. You got this, girl. I know it. I have a lot of faith in you, and you have such good energy and beautiful spirit. And I know that like whoever you meet that's for you is going to appreciate that. So I'm excited for you.
Thank you. I appreciate that. I receive that.
Yay.
The introvert in me is like, well, I know.
Questioning it all.
Let me be like a reflection of, I receive that. My introvert mind receives this feedback. Warmly receives this feedback.
Yay. I love that. I like that you're trying to like, you know, you like, I know that this is what I want to do, but I want to do this. So thank you. One last question. What was one of your favorite dates, even with ex-husband, and what was it?
One of my favorite dates. That's a good question. I'm not sure if it was my favorite, but it was one of my most memorable.
Okay.
And this was very early on with my former partner. We had what you described as a friend date. So my roommate came with me. This was like, okay, you're my person. I'm your person. Okay, let's go out. We went to this fancy restaurant. It was in Austin. It was called Mozart's. I didn't even know if Mozart's is still around. So fancy restaurant, Friday night, lights were there, good conversation, good wine. Everything's beautiful and wonderful. It's like, okay, right choice. We're leaving the restaurant. We're crossing the street. Cars are waiting as we go across the crosswalk. I had on a skirt and a slip. It's like a little undergarment. And my undergarments fell in the middle of the street as I was crossing the sidewalk on this beautiful date on Friday nights where it's all packed. And I was mortified. I was like, well, I can't just stand here. I can't like just lay on the ground and play dead. Let me just step out of it and keep walking. And so I did. I thought nothing of it. Well, I thought a lot about how mortified I was, but this was one of those experiences that really solidified for me the bond and kinship that we had. He was totally unflinched by this. He was totally like unfazed by it. He thought it was so adorable. Like you can't possibly think me losing my undergarments in the streets. That's adorable. Like what kind of this? This was like maybe our third date.
He was smitten. That's what, you know.
That's definitely one of the more memorable.
Well, I appreciate you sharing that because I can see how it can be horrifying. But the way he took it, you're like, you're my knight.
Like,
that's
okay. I'll keep you around.
Yeah, I'll keep you around. Amazing. Well, I love that. And where can people find, I mean, this will obviously be in, I will share all of these with you in the show notes and for social media, but anybody that's listening here today that wants to learn more about your services or for you to speak or any other information, where can people find you?
You can always find me at iembraceawesome.com. That is my online home for all things awesome.com. And on social media platforms, you can find me at JK Shawless. When you go to iembraceawesome.com, you'll see the buttons to click there.
Amazing. I love that. Well, I hope everybody got to learn something today because I sure did. And I absolutely love that you were able to share all these, you know, tools and your stories. And thank you again for coming on to today's show. I appreciate that.
Thank you so much. And thank you for making me feel better about my journey and this dating process. Like, oh God, this is a hot mess. But okay. I can take the pressure off.
Yes.
I'm not completely off the rails.
No, we're all off a little. So you know what? It's the moments that you get to create. So
yeah, I love yes. that. Thank you so much for that.
Yes. Thank you.
If you enjoyed today's episode and want to support podcasts like ours, then please hit that subscribe button, leave a 5-star rating, and or invite others to listen. Your support is what helps us grow and continue to bring you valuable content. Thanks for hanging out with us on today's episode. Let's stay connected. You can find me on Instagram at Celeste Moore Image, and I'd love to hear your thoughts on today's discussion. For all the links, resources, and additional information mentioned in this episode, check out the show notes on my website, celestemoore.com. That's all for now, but stay tuned for our next episode where we'll dive into more exciting topics. Until then, see you next time, friends.